Hey, this is John. This is Home From Here. That's me messing up the guitar. So let's scratch that and just start talking. I am with Dora, am I going to say it right? Celestino?
That is correct.
With the Council on Addiction Prevention Education.
Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County.
Of Dutchess County, fantastic. And your role is?
I'm a community prevention educator.
Okay. So let's first cover the organization, then we'll cover addiction. Can you just tell me a little bit about what CAPE is?
So we serve as the only New York State OASIS designated prevention provider in Dutchess County. So we coordinate prevention recovery in educational settings and within the community.
Prevention and recovery or
prevention and recovery?
And recovery. Okay. Yes. I thought you said prevention recovery. And I'm like,
I didn't know
you had to recover from prevention.
No, it's prevention and recovery to address the substance use crisis going on in Dutchess County currently.
Okay. How bad is it?
It's significant. So we are rated second highest in overdose deaths across New York State.
Really? I was not aware. Overdosing on, name it.
Opioids,
okay. No, I didn't say you name it. I'm like overdosing on, but it's second highest county in the state.
Yes. So if there's 62 counties in New York State, right here in our own backyard, Dutchess County is rated number two.
What's number one?
I couldn't even tell you.
Okay, fair enough. This opioid thing. I understand how it started. I don't understand how it continues. My wife just had head and neck cancer, and they gave her opioids for the pain. One of the hardest parts of recovery was weaning off that.
Yeah,
and that's her. She's not. She's not an addictive personality. She's not a, you know, she barely drinks. But the coming off, it took her 4 months to wean off of that, and it was hard.
Yeah, understood. Now imagine an adolescent where their brain isn't fully developed yet.
Unbelievable.
Yes. So prevention efforts, we're trying to address the substance use issue in our county.
Right.
And we want to walk youth through having a safe haven. Like we're opening up a youth clubhouse right now.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Where?
In the DMV building in Wappingers.
Fantastic.
Yes. So it gives them a safe place to be, a substance-free environment. We're going to offer a ton of different services. But again, youth, their brains aren't fully developed yet, and they won't be till they're well into their 20s.
20s, right.
So, for instance, you have somebody that's playing high school soccer, breaks his ankle on the soccer field, goes to the doctor.
Mm. Yeah, and off to the races.
And you're off to the races. So, just giving them the services they need
right
to prevent them from going down a path.
How do they get it? It's sold on the street?
It's so easily accessible. You can go on your smartphone, order a pizza, have it delivered within minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same thing with substances. Unfortunately, a kid that has a smartphone, it's just easily accessible. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So talk to me a little bit about addiction first. This is a chemical addiction. It's not a behavioral addiction. It's a opioid is a chemical addiction.
I can tell you what addiction is not.
Okay, go.
It is not a moral failing.
Correct.
It is not a choice. Mm-hmm. We don't judge people with, let's say you said your wife
right.
with cancer. We don't judge people with cancer or diabetes.
Right.
We don't judge people with substance use disorder.
Right.
It's a chronic brain disease.
Right.
It is not a moral failing.
What is the hardest? What there does come though a point where you, where the person with it does have to make a choice. So that's kind of unfair that you don't choose to get in it, but you do have to make the choice to get out of it.
Yes, and that's recovery. We've got great recovery peer advocates at CAPE. I am on the other end of the spectrum. I want to get to youth before they need recovery.
Okay.
So I'm all about prevention, preventing kids.
How do you prevent that kid with a broken ankle, though? Because they have to go to the doctor.
Education. Awareness is key. So going to school, you know, we start talking early and often.
Okay.
Starting at a young age about what substance use is, having open, honest conversations. You know, if there's addiction in your family, again, having an open, honest conversation, talking about, you know, and reducing the stigma.
They're okay. Yeah.
Behind that.
Yeah.
So if we get them at an early age and, you know, they learn, let's say, elementary school, and then we go into middle school and high school, they're already equipped with refusal skills. They're equipped with everything they need to succeed mm-hmm. and be substance-free.
Refusal skills must be paramount because it's so, especially when you're a teenager, it's so hard to say no to anything, let alone something that tempting.
Agreed. But I'm gonna talk about a program that we use. It's an evidence-based program.
Great.
It's called Teen Intervene for those who, for youth who are in school who get caught using a substance. Teen Intervene is an alternative to suspension. We don't want to disconnect the child from school.
Right.
We take a different approach. We set the focus on the teen. And change comes when we begin to recognize that our current behavior is discrepant with how we view ourselves. So if we can get the child and use this motivational interviewing for change. Mm. Change that they make.
What's motivational interviewing?
Oh, motivational interviewing. It's non-punitive. It's motivational interviewing is we reinforce autonomy and give them the ability to self-reflect. They realize they need change. It's not somebody telling them.
Right. And this is available to all schools?
All schools.
And do schools? That's interesting. Sorry, I was just thinking.
It's okay.
That's interesting. On the one hand, having it in a school I can understand why a school would want to discipline that, but I can also understand why disciplining that is probably the exact wrong thing.
Yes.
To do.
So what are we doing when we're disciplining the child? So, for instance, a child gets caught vaping.
Right.
In school. Why would we suspend the child from school? They're home for 3-5 days.
Mm-hmm. Vaping. Week. They're home vaping for They're 3-5 home days. Vaping.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So CAPE was awarded a second-year state opioid response grant. And we are giving schools the opportunity to allow us to help them enhance their substance use policy, where we take away the suspension and provide Teen Intervene instead. Like I said before, it's an alternative to suspension.
Right. Do you know what James's Warriors are?
I adore James's Warriors.
So between you and James's Warriors, it seems like the most important part of school has very little to do with education now. It seems or that these programs are at least as valuable as education.
Absolutely. So you're not only going to school to learn the core base, you know, the basics of ELA,
right?
Math, science. We also need to equip our youth. These are our future leaders.
Yeah.
We need to equip them with the tools they need to succeed in life. And it's all, you know, we want to focus on mental health. And mental health and substance use go hand in hand.
Why would a doctor prescribe an opioid to a child?
I'm not sure about that. But even if the child doesn't get prescribed an opioid, they're at a party.
Right. But in that one scenario seems to be an easy way to prevent an addiction. Just don't prescribe it.
Okay, but even for children who don't get prescribed any sort of painkiller or opioid, whatever, the accessibility. Look, when you walk into any gas station, what's the first thing you see? There are vapes.
Right.
We legalized marijuana.
Right.
What children don't tend to think about is because it's legal does not mean it's safe, especially for people under the age of 21.
Right.
Again, while their brain is still developing.
Mm-hmm.
So the imagery is everywhere.
Right, right. Marijuana is a tough one.
Marijuana is a tough one.
That's a tough one. But opioids seem to me to be pretty cut and dry.
There is an opioid epidemic out there.
Do you – so a teenager would take an opioid to fill what hole?
Could be many different reasons. Why do teens use substances? Peer pressure to fit
in,
to mask something else that's going on.
Right.
They're internalizing maybe different feelings. There's many reasons why kids use. But again, if we educate them, we empower them with education and the tools they need. Then they can make their own informed decisions.
Right. And now the SOAR program, that is
– SOAR grant. Yeah.
SOAR grant, rather. That is when a child has used, when a teenager has used, and this is when when we eliminate the suspension and we do that program. Yes. Go ahead.
So it's a state opioid response grant.
Okay.
And again, that grant is for us to assist schools in addressing substance use. And our goal is to reduce and prevent substance use, you know, in youth.
Right.
So we come in and, again, rather than it being punitive, rather than us saying, you know, there's shame on you, you did this wrong, we're taking you out of school for 5 days, go home and think about it. That's not what's happening.
No. Nobody's going home and thinking about
it. That's not what is happening.
Right.
Correct. So, again, this is an alternative to suspension.
Right. What can schools do before it gets to that point?
Have CAPE in there.
Okay. And so what do you do before it gets to that point?
So going back to, you know, nipping it in the bud, let's talk about this. Let's have open, honest conversations about it. CAPE has me as the community prevention educator talking about all different kinds of substances. We tailor our presentations to fit the needs of any audience,
right,
whether it be elementary, middle, or high school. We use evidence-based programming. We also have school counselors.
Okay.
Okay, so I primarily go into schools that don't have CAPE counselors. But we do throughout Dutchess County.
But some schools have dedicated.
Yes, CAPE staff.
Okay.
Which is, you know, they're dedicated to being the drug counselor.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
We are trying so hard to do our part in reducing and preventing youth substance use. But it takes a village.
Right, right. And I think it's one of the things that is, I think, one of the things people are aware of but grossly underestimate is the importance of overall mental health training in schools.
Sure.
And I think we are at the point where we see that there's a problem, but I don't think we're at a point yet. CAPE is, but I don't think the education system in general is. I don't think we're at a point yet where we can be preventative about that. And the same way we have physical education as mandatory, have mental health
yes
education
yes
as mandatory.
Yes.
And I would love that. I would love 2 days a week. You know, I have to go to gym 2 days a week. I would love to have a mental health awareness class 2 days a week. And
absolutely.
Right?
So
when I run for governor, I will have your vote.
Well, thank you. So, you know, the too good for drugs. Talk about too good for drugs. So with our state opioid response grant that we got, we can come into schools. Not only can we help them enhance their substance use policy to implement Teen Intervene, we can also do evidence-based programming, as I said before, too good for drugs. We can go K through 12th grade doing this program, and again, it equips them with refusal skills. It's having open, honest conversations. We don't want to there's clearly a problem out there.
Right.
We do not want to push it under the rug, pretend that it doesn't exist. We need to educate our youth.
It would seem that I'm getting hung up on this refusal skills because that's so important. That's a life skill. Forget even addiction. Mm-hmm. That's a life skill. That teach me what's the trick?
There is no trick. There's a couple of different refusal skills. Like we tell kids, never underestimate the power of your own voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn how to say no. Give a reason why you're saying no. How about showing care and concern for the friend that is asking you or introducing you to the substance?
Mm.
You know, with, for example, hey, I would be really bothered. I would be really upset if something happened to you. Maybe suggest something else, a healthier coping skill.
Mm.
You know, so there's we don't want to give all of our secrets away.
Fair enough.
But yes, CAPE counselors and me, the community prevention educator, we can certainly go into schools and talk about substance use and again, equip students with what they need to succeed and live a substance-free life.
I'm going to guess one. I would think that the educating teens as to the consequences of saying no, because I think in some cases teens say yes to stuff that they don't want to do just because to say no means I'm ostracized, I'm friendless, I'm missing my, you know, I just tore half my childhood away because no one will talk to me, So I would imagine part of it is just dealing with the teaching teenagers what the consequences of saying no really are,
yeah,
which is you get to live. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You actually define yourself, which people respond to. People, mm-hmm, especially teenagers. Teenagers respond to other teenagers who are defined.
Yes.
And saying no defines you.
Yes, and it's not just about saying no, but why we're saying no, why we're choosing to live happier, healthier lives, substance-free lives.
Right. And it's also, I would imagine it's also confusing when a teen, you know, goes home and sees parents popping off three cocktails a night.
Sure.
And then, you know, there's not a lot of even adult role models for.
Yeah. Educators, parents, we all need to come as a community and lead by example. Be good role models.
Right. Right. Do you, there must be an enormous amount of gratitude from parents about this, for this.
We.
Because this is beyond the parenting skill set.
Is it?
I think you have to be trained to not for prevention, but I think I think if my daughter bumped into opioids, first thing I would do would get help besides me.
Sure.
And
sure. We are, CAPE is not a treatment center.
Right.
We have prevention and we have recovery, peer recovery advocates bridge the gap.
between.
They help you navigate. They help you navigate your way through recovery.
Okay, all right. Which is that too is of paramount importance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I can't stress enough how we don't want to punish. We want to prevent.
Right.
And if prevention means talking early and often from elementary school all the way up to high school.
Do you work with schools on their disciplinary policy in general?
Only when it comes to substance use.
Right. That's what I mean. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Yes. All right. What's that tide like? Is it turning? Is it? Or do you get resistance?
Yes, and no. But I'm so proud to tell you that the schools that we have worked with that have allowed us to enhance their substance use policy have come back to us with great feedback that there's less substance use in school.
There you go.
So when you're not using during school, you're focusing on schoolwork and you're, you know.
Right. Right. The other part of your – I'm putting myself in your job. It must be difficult. Like, my job is to make shows, and I have a show at the end of it. Your job is to prevent a kid from using an addictive substance.
Yes.
You never get to see that.
You know, I can tell you this. Sometimes at the end of presentations, you'll have youth that come up to you and say, wow, I didn't realize just how dangerous the substance was. Or I didn't realize how powerful my voice is.
Right. Right. Which is, again, not again, sorry. I think what you're doing is valuable past prevention of addiction. It should almost be mandatory anyway.
Yeah.
Because there's times in everybody's life where you are going to have to find your voice and assert yourself and put your health first and recognize that your mental health has to be managed as much, if not more, than your physical health. And those are all lessons from you. Should be mandatory.
Well, from your lips to their ears.
More sore, I say.
We want to promote healthy behavior aligned with restorative practices. We want to prevent repeated behavior and keep students safe. And that is what Teen Intervene is about.
Okay. Are there environmental factors? Are there things physically that a school can do to help with prevention, or is that not?
I'm not sure. I know
police, stronger visitation policy, that kind of thing.
I don't want to get into like law enforcement because, well, like if a child sees law enforcement, what's the first thing you're thinking of? Oh boy, I'm in trouble.
Right, right.
And I guess at a certain point, perhaps it could get to that. But
Job is to take away the market, and in that way, when somebody comes to do business, there's nobody buying anyway. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Remove the stigma.
Right.
Remove the stigma. You know, people tend to think about substance use only happens in certain neighborhoods and, you know, with certain people. No, substance use disorder does not discriminate.
Right.
It doesn't care, you know, what color you are, what race, you know, what or sexual orientation. It does not discriminate. It affects everybody.
Right.
And how do we support our future leaders, today's youth?
Right.
We educate them. We empower them.
And we take care of their brains.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? At the end of the day, do you think So you focus mostly on opioids or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No,
so absolutely opioids not. Are the biggest, but there's.
Well, so substance use in general.
Okay.
So as a community prevention educator, I can go to any school, any business, local business. I'm all over the community focusing on substance use as a whole,
right.
Whether it's alcohol, tobacco.
Right. Right.
Opioids. We tailor our presentations to fit any audience.
I would imagine another hard part of your job is talking about consequence to an audience that doesn't understand consequence yet. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I got super, super, super lucky. But I've seen her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, hey, if I do X, Y happens, that sentence stops at if I do X. And there's not a deep understanding of even the idea of consequences.
We don't want to use scare tactics. Let me start off by saying that. Scare tactics do not work.
Okay.
Educating them on this is what could happen to you. We're all built differently.
Right.
What you do, perhaps your body can tolerate. It's like Russian roulette. Do you want to be the one, the half that does a substance and ends up developing a substance use disorder? Or will you be the half that can do it and nothing really would happen?
Right.
I'm not willing to play Russian roulette.
And it's probably not even – it's probably not even Russian roulette because just chemically, something's happening to your brain.
Absolutely.
The first time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's maybe it's a blank, but it's still going to hurt your ears in Russian roulette. How'd you get into this?
I worked as a operations manager at a level one trauma hospital.
Oof.
And I volunteered with CAPE with their teen driving program, and teen driving is at CAPE, as you can see, we do an array of different programs.
Yeah, very cool. Teen driving is traumatic. My daughter's learning to drive right now, and I have high blood pressure anyway. My daughter's good at so many things. Driving, not amongst them, but sorry, teen driving, you go ahead.
So again, CAPE has a variety of different programs, and so how I got involved was I was a guest speaker for the teen driving program where students get – it's a mandatory program if students want to park at school.
Okay.
They must be accompanied by a parent. And, you know, parking on school property, on school campus is a privilege. It's not a right. And with that privilege comes great responsibility. So we have an hour to talk to the students and give them four different perspectives. Medical. Legal perspective, the Dutchess County DA's office speaks, insurance, and then we have a victim impact statement. So I would volunteer and speak on behalf of the medical industry and things that I have seen. And again, no scare tactics, just reality.
Right.
You need all of your senses to drive. You need, you know, multitasking is a myth when it comes to driving. So students get to hear four different perspectives.
Mm.
And then a job opening just happened to pop up at CAPE, and I applied for it. And instead, I truly believe in our mission. So rather than volunteering a couple of times a month, I'm on board full time.
Operations manager at a trauma, you said?
Level one.
So level one means?
Well, you don't go there for broken bones or stitches.
Got it.
Level one trauma is, your life is in danger. And, you know, several times I would see a very unfortunate circumstance and think to myself, I would love to be in prevention. I want to prevent this from happening.
Mm.
I want to get to these kids and empower them with education and awareness so they don't end up in a level one trauma hospital.
Right, right. Do you, after your After your presentation, are there other resources available?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me those.
Absolutely. So we partner with Dutchess County Department of Behavior and Community Services. We collaborate. There are always people out there to help. Always. Mm. So we could, you know, anybody can call CAPE at any time. We can talk about the services we offer. We can, if, and then we could send you off to other different resources,
right.
You know, that
so you
we
could refer if
we, yes, we can refer you to different agencies depending on what your needs are.
If I'm a teen and I call, am I anonymous?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also when it comes to recovery, all free services. We don't ask you for insurance. We ask you for no payment at all.
Mm.
We are truly here to help you.
Wow. That would be an important part, I would think, because teens having to having to deal with your parents and prevention and recovery, that seems like one problem too many. So I think it's good that that a teen could reach out and
absolutely
not have to deal with that.
You know, several times I've done a presentation, let's say on alcohol.
Right.
And I've had students come to me in private and say, hey, can I email you? Can I call you?
Mm.
Because I have a friend that's using and I'm not sure what to do.
Right.
So use CAPE as your ally. We are here. And the outcome, as I said before, the outcome of it's all positive. We're getting all positive feedback. So, you know, we truly want to help schools.
Is the idea of training actual teens to be peer counselors, is that dumb?
What do you mean?
So you would go in and you would select, the school would offer, some student would volunteer to be kind of like a peer counselor who's there all the time. So if I'm having trouble and I want to talk to a teenager instead of an adult about it, I could do that. But this teenager has some training in, like, hey, I know what I have to report. I know what I have to
– yeah.
Yeah?
So – another service that CAPE offers is...
Is there stuff you guys don't do?
No.
Very good.
No.
I love it. Okay, sorry.
So CAPE has a youth council, and if you contact...
There it is.
Yes.
Okay.
If you contact CAPE, we can get you with the Southern Dutchess... I'm sorry, with the Youth Coalition Coordinator.
Okay.
And we can talk about how you can be involved...
Fantastic, because that would look good on your college app, I would imagine.
Like peer-to-peer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's that saying, how do you get a 12-year-old to listen? You have another 12-year-old tell them, so, yeah.
The importance of the youth council.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. How do you guys raise money other than SOAR? Do you guys – can general population donate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We gladly accept donations. And we are an OASIS provider, so we are all government funded.
What's OASIS provider mean?
OASIS is Office of Alcohol Substance.
You don't get points off.
Okay. OASIS is Office of Alcohol Supports. And yeah.
No worries.
What? I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry.
OASIS. Okay. OASIS is New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports. Sorry.
There you go.
It took me a
no problem at all.
Because they just recently changed their name, so
right.
Took me a second. I'm sorry.
Oh.
But yes, so we are a
– So you're state funded.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But individuals can donate.
Sure.
Okay. And I would do that on the website, right?
Yes. We are at capedc.org.
Okay. CAPEDC adults.org.
Correct.
And there's opportunities to volunteer there for adults as well. If...
Yes, there are opportunities. I think we're actually looking for a not volunteer basis, but we're looking for somebody to run the youth clubhouse right now. We're having a soft grand opening.
When's that?
We had our ribbon cutting last month.
There you go.
Yes. And we moved into a new office space. So
how happy are you?
It's beautiful. It's warm. It's welcoming. And, it's for youth.
Right.
Ages 12 to 19.
Beautiful.
Or 12 to 18. I'm sorry. And,
I love that program because that's another. So I live in Westchester. I don't want to, but I do, for another year, but, there is nothing for kids to do. And I live in Westchester where money's not necessarily an issue. You know, house size isn't necessarily an issue. There is still nothing for kids to do.
So the Youth Clubhouse was designed to provide, we do an array of different programs, tutoring, homework help, yoga.
Fantastic. There's,
doing the Too Good for Drugs, the evidence-based programming.
Right.
There's so much that the clubhouse offers kids.
Mm. And even just a space.
Yes.
Just having a space that's not school or home.
Correct. A safe space.
Right. Yeah.
You know, obviously a substance-free space.
Right.
Where kids could come together.
For me, when I grew up in Rhinebeck, that I had church. And my church was open, and I could hang out in church, and I had a piano, and I could do all that stuff. And that was so important to have some place to go other than work and school.
Sure.
and home. But obviously church attendance has declined, and so that's not so much a resource for kids as much as it was. But so a clubhouse is that should be in every town in Dutchess County. Should have a clubhouse. More SOAR. I'll say it again.
Well, SOAR is the opioid response.
Right.
But, so providing this clubhouse, it was funded by a very humble family, private funding.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, yes. And to provide kids with, again, the safe space they need.
Yeah.
And if you're not involved with sports or even, like, during the summer – if you're not going to summer camp, like what are we doing? Right.
Right.
So providing that safe space, there's a ping pong table. And we're going to have video games.
The other cool thing about that is that if I'm a teenager and I go to the clubhouse, I will be around other teenagers who are like-minded and want that same safe space. So now we're piling on to each other.
Yes.
And that's,
And, you know,
you can do live music there.
We can. Want to talk about
I'm
that?
I'm going to pitch you. Okay. I know a lot of bands. Should do like a monthly live, do live music and gather there.
Right. So we're thinking about, we're in the beginning stages, but we're thinking about different programs that we could bring that youth would be interested in, like doing movie nights.
Yeah.
You know, doing perhaps yoga, babysitting certification classes.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, different programs.
Hit me up. I'll get you a band. You can do one a month.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Good. Do you what's the general response when you go into a school? Do you find kids more attentive, or do you have to catch them?
No, they're attentive.
From the get?
Well, when you're talking about something they're interested in.
Right.
And if I, for instance, walk in and say, engage the audience, how many of you know somebody that vapes?
Right. Everybody.
Right. They'll raise their hand.
Right.
So teaching them myths and facts, for instance, about vaping. So it's engaging with the kids.
Right.
And having them participate. So we're not up there just...
Right.
You know.
What's a vaping myth? Give me one.
A vaping myth. A popular one is it's only water vapor.
Oh, okay.
Somebody told me that it's safer than smoking regular cigarettes.
And it's not.
Oh, boy. It's not. It's actually aerosol. See,
you just dispelled a myth for me. I thought it was.
Nope. No.
Oh, wow.
So, no, vaping does not produce water vapor, as the name would suggest.
Right.
It's actually aerosol.
Oof. Yeah. So you're inhaling deodorant and hairspray.
Yeah.
that can't be good for you.
Essentially, you know, water vapor is when you come out of the shower, a hot shower.
Right.
What's on the mirror.
Right.
That's what kids tend to think they're vaping. Or when they're making macaroni and cheese and they're boiling water.
Right.
And they think that's, you know, water vapor. Mm-hmm. That's what they're inhaling. No, because that's what they were made to believe.
Right, right. So and so kids are pretty receptive from the jump.
Yes. Always get positive feedback where kids, as I said before, would come up to me and say, wow, I had no idea.
Why isn't this mandatory?
I am not sure.
It would seem to me that it should be.
Well, you know, when there's so much schoolwork that needs to be done, finding time, carving out time.
We make our kids learn how to play volleyball. We could probably squeeze in a half hour to make this education. Because
I think it's important.
I don't know how many lives volleyball has saved. And I'm not anti-gym, but I'm just saying that, you know, the idea – I love what you're doing for schools. I love the idea that school is more than just a place that I have to go to till I'm 16 and so forth. I love that there's actual life resources because, you know, my daughter sits in pre-calc and says, I'm never going to use this. If my daughter goes to your presentation, she's going to use that every day for the rest of her life. So it would seem to me.
We just have so much to offer, you know, just an array of programs on any substance you can think of.
Mm.
And again, not judging anybody, not telling them what to do, what not to do, but educating them so they can make their own informed decisions.
Right, right. I always sympathize with teens so much because of my daughter, but it's hard to say, on the one hand, make good decisions, and then on the other hand, say, but you still have half a brain. The other half is coming, but it's not there yet. That's hard. That's a hard ask.
But, you know, the prefrontal cortex is not developed yet.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So they don't have the ability to, you know, sometimes make those decisions and weigh consequences.
I made a post yesterday, my daughter jumping off a bridge into a lake, and the caption was, no prefrontal cortex. it's so true. And she's a great kid, like, but, yeah, I mean – Do you ever get sad at the notion that the teens that you are talking to are facing questions that are just too big for their brain to handle?
You know, it was different when you and I were growing up.
That's what I mean.
Like, let's say, for example, the THC level, right?
Right.
In marijuana.
Right.
It is so concentrated now. The THC level is at extremely high levels. The potency is off the charts. We didn't have to deal with that when we were kids.
Right.
You know, we didn't have to deal with fentanyl.
Right. And you had to work to get stuff too. Like if you want weed now, if you have a hard time avoiding it. Forget when we were kids, you had to work to get it. Yeah.
So we're helping kids adapt to, I guess, the landscape of what it looks like today. So again,
do we need to dial it back though? Sometimes it seems like it's just too much that you know, we do have to change the environment a little bit so for these kids to navigate.
Yes.
I don't care who you are as a teenager. I can't say no three times a day to my friend group every single day.
Yeah. And, you know, teaching kids, just say no.
doesn't work.
Does not work.
Right, right.
I can't stress enough the importance of awareness, of education.
Right.
You know, of what that road could look like should you choose to use.
Right.
And let them make their own informed decisions.
Right. Do you find teens drinking more or using marijuana more?
Well, CAPE puts out a youth development survey, and we just got the results in not too long ago, so we haven't had a chance to really go over them.
Okay.
But there's a lot of availability of a lot of different substances.
Right.
Which one is more popular, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is that accessibility, kids can get anything. Substance,
yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
As we said before.
Right.
So, you know, gas stations.
Right.
There's bongs. There's vapes. You know, there's
friends,
sound.
Parents' house. It's everywhere.
In gas stations, you can find little bottles of liquor.
Right.
It's easily accessible.
Right.
And there's loopholes, you know, with the FDA. So.
Right. Do you guys work on legislation at all? You do? Okay.
There's nothing CAPE doesn't do. Yeah. We are working, our coalition coordinators are working with local law enforcement, are working with politicians. We are trying to make our mark. We are trying our best. But again, it takes a village. So we need the community to hop on board and say, hey, how can we help? What can we do?
Right. Do you do town halls at all?
Oh, of course we do.
Awesome. Good. Okay, great.
Yes.
I mean, those I bet would be are valuable, rather.
Yes. Yeah. I recently did town halls. Well, when it was up whether towns wanted to opt in or opt out of legalizing marijuana.
Right.
I did a lot of different town halls. And
I bet those were
interesting.
High energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But you don't know what you don't know. So
right.
If we could come in and we could educate you.
Right.
You know, this is how we're going to solve the opioid epidemic.
Right. Right. You blew through the hour. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. CAPEDC.org.
Yes. CAPEDC.org is our website.
Okay.
Our telephone number is 845-765-8301.
Okay.
And follow us.
I'll post
us.
That too when we – and follow you on?
Social media. We are on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook, Instagram. So please like, share, follow.
Volunteer. Donate.
Donate.
Thank you for the work you're doing. Super,
thank
super
you.
Important. I have a teenager. It's super, super important. I love meeting people who dedicate themselves to lifting other people up, and you're doing that. So
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And it's our pleasure. We love serving our community.
Well, thank you for doing it. And I was serious about hitting me up for the band. I will make that
perfect.
Happen for you.
All sounds right. Like a plan. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. I'm John. That was Home From Here.